Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we hear from Job and from Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. A challenge, so to speak, beginning with God's words to Job. The questions he asks, there is only one answer to the questions that God asks Job. And that answer is, of course, the Sunday school answer of God or Jesus, if you want to look at it that way. It's the same. But Job is being challenged by God with some questions of his understanding of who it is that's in charge of everything, who it is that has created everything. And while Job back in that day and the understanding of the formation of the earth was much different than it is today, the origin hasn't changed. Even though science has shown in all sorts of different ways how the earth was created and how the universe came to be and all of these things, there is still something missing. I don't want to say I'm down on science, because I'm not. I love science. I love the exploration of all things. But sometimes we can be a little arrogant. We ourselves, science in general, and society in general, has a problem with arrogance. We think we know best. And the more we explore and the more we calculate and the more that we measure, we think we know even better than the best. And every time a new discovery is made, we think that makes us even smarter. And we kind of get a little bit arrogant. A little bit. God's questions to Job aren't necessarily a question of his basic understanding of who made the heavens and the earth, but it's a challenge to human arrogance. And you notice this, even in the manner that God asks the questions. The first two, he asks Job in verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" And then his response, "Tell me if you have understanding." In other words, he's asking, here's your opportunity, Job. Show me who it was or how this all came to be. And then he says, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, because you're so smart. So, bringing this into our day and age, if God were to sit down and say, all right, all of the wonderful sciences we have, show me who made heaven and earth. And they would come forth with all of our understandings of time and movements and gravity and all of these different things. And God would go, it's a good thought. You're close. You're missing something. There's a piece of all of this understanding that you have that's missing. And then he would say, all right, so who determined how big everything was going to be? Surely, you know, with all of your vast understanding of knowledge in all of the created world and universe, surely you know how this all came to be. So, what's your theory? And God would say, it's a good thought, but you're still missing something. See, our problem isn't with science, because it's amazing, the discoveries and things. I love it. The problem is the premise that we're the ones to have it all figured out. We're the ones to take all of this and prove everything. We're the ones, the problem is human arrogance, that we think we can figure it all out. We think we can figure out all of the solutions to the problems. The problem with some of our solutions is that the solutions become more problems. And then solutions become more problems, and then solutions become more problems. And we just kick the can down the road of the things that we do because we think we know best how to make this all work. And we say to God, well, God, you can stay up there. Just stay up there. You're okay. Just stay up there. Don't meddle. Don't do anything. We're going to figure this all out. We're going to make it all work. We're going to make it all better. And God says, tell me if you understand. Show me that you can do this. But we can't. See, when we leave God up on the shelf, we're missing the big piece. The piece that's missing from all of these theories and all of this understanding is the piece that nobody wants to look at. And the fact is that God created the heavens and the earth. And as our Lutheran catechism says, he still takes care of it. He still takes care of it. Now we can argue and say, well then why is it going to hell in a handbasket with everything going on? And the fact is that it's still us. That's the problem. It's still us thinking we can figure it all out. That's an issue. When we leave God out of it, when we put God on a shelf, and we say we don't need him to do this, then here we are. The disciples in our gospel reading are a microcosm of all of that. There's several guys in a boat, hardened fishermen, right? They know how to handle the sea. They've been doing it all of their lives. They go out in a boat, and this storm comes up. It's not like they've never had a storm before. It's not like they've never seen the wind and the waves and endured this before. This is nothing new, but this one is out of hand. This problem is out of hand. They don't know how to handle it. And so they exhaust every effort, bailing and bailing, trying to keep the water out of the boat. And then they're sinking and they're sinking. And then when they've exhausted every opportunity, then they turn to Jesus. And say, Jesus, can you help us with this? Why don't you care that we're drowning? And Jesus stands up and proves who he is. He says to the wind and the waves, quiet, be still, or in other words, shut it. Had enough. Go back to where you're supposed to go back to. If you look in Job, it says, this far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Jesus says that to the waves, and what do? The waves listen and obey. They calm and go flat. They stay where they are told to stay by the one who created them. Now here's a what if. What if the disciples had asked Jesus first to help? If they had turned to Jesus first for his hand, would things have turned out differently? Would they have been so terrified and afraid? It's a what if. We don't know. But what we do see is when Jesus stands up and quiets the wind and the waves, and then he turns to his disciples, and you can only picture it as the disappointed father face. You know that disappointed father face? It's Father's Day weekend. I think most of us have seen at some point the disappointed father face. Where he kind of just goes, I told you this is going to be the way it was. You didn't listen. The disappointed father face of Jesus turns to his disciples and says, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? I've been in the boat with you the whole entire time, and you ignored me. And then when you were at your last wit's end, then you call out for help. That's the disappointed father face. Jesus saves them, despite being left for last, despite being left on the shelf, despite being the last only resort we had, he does enter in and save us. And that's what makes God so amazing. That we can make a mess of everything. The world around us, a mess. Our world inside us, a mess. Everything we touch seems to become a mess. And yet, God still saves us. The sin in our lives gets out of hand. The hurt we cause and are caused gets destructive. And yet, God saves us. And yet, the cross of Christ does what it was supposed to do. It saves us. Now, the disappointed father face. Yes, disappointed, but still loving. Yeah, we could say God looks down and probably shakes his head at the mess this world has become. Maybe. But he still loves the world. He still loves his creation. He still loves his creatures, you and I. He still sent his son Jesus to die for us, to shed his blood for us, to give himself for us, to become the mess that we created in order that we would be spared. That's God. That's who he is. That's what he does. The creator of the universe, the one who has, he says in Job, laid the foundations of all creation, is the one who looks at you and me and says, you're mine. Yeah, I know you're a mess, but you're my mess. You're the mess I saved. You're the mess I made pure and whole in the waters of baptism. You're the mess that I sent my son for. You're the mess that I give the gift of faith and grace and forgiveness to. That's you. That's me. That's God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.